Drama Productions. Beginning drama production of A Forgiven Fairy Tale begins Thursday, October 16th and runs through the Sunday, October 19th. Students who are currently rehearsing for advanced drama production, The Merry Wives of Wisdor, which begins on November 13th. Academics, high school exiting exam classes for English will be offered over the next five ninth blocks for students struggling in English. Now for Lyndhurst Report. Old Business, Blazer Nation Week was on September 22nd through the 26th. Volleyball game was on September 24th. President Council was on September 25th. Volleyball game was on September 29th. Soccer game on September 30th. Color Run was on October 2nd. Soccer game on October 2nd also. Homecoming World of Color was on September 29th through the 3rd. Homecoming football game was on October 3rd. Volleyball game was on October 6th. Noontime activities was on October 9th. Football game was on October 10th. And some new business. Kids can start on October 13th. Volleyball game on October 15th. Soccer game on October 16th. And President Council on the 25th. And Interaction Halloween Fest on October 29th. And FFA Pumpkins on the 28th. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Kynoch School 5th grade video presentation, Melissa Morse. Hi, Melissa. Oh, wow. That includes some board members? Yeah, absolutely. Good.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
Melissa Morse, and I'm a fifth grade teacher here at Kynoch Elementary School in Marysville, California. Football plays a very large role in the everyday education of my students. I'd like to introduce you to some amazing young people and show you how together we make football.
We represent the football players and cheerleaders from our class. I love to cheer because it has taught me how to dance, and in pink October we wear pink bows.
I like to cheer because it keeps me active. I love to dance, and I love the friends I make. Also, in pink October, we represent breast cancer.
Football taught me what it means to be on a team.
One of the reasons I like football is because it motivates me to be better.
One thing I learned from being on a football team is to never give up and never back down.
Being part of a football team is like having another family.
Being on a football team taught me to never give up on your dreams.
Football plays a big role in our classroom when it comes to reading material.
We use a 100-yard medic football field to check our points.
Every point we get, we move our football helmets to the first yard line.
Our goal is to get 100 yards or 100 points.
That equals a touchdown and a gold medal in our accelerated reading competition.
Reading's important to get a job or play a sport and win this game called life.
In our class, our teacher teaches us in order to succeed, we have to work. We keep this back here to remind us of what we have to do in order to be successful.
W stands for willing. Football players seem to be willing to practice in any weather, hot weather especially. They need to be willing to pay attention in class so that they have the grades to play.
Organized. Football players need to be organized to get their work done on time. And when football players are in school, they need to make sure they have good grades and make sure their work is organized correctly. Same goes for the students. Students need to be organized and make sure they get their work in on time.
R stands for responsible. Students need to be responsible to keep all their work together. And football players need to be responsible to keep all their equipment.
K stands for knowledge. Football players need to know the rules of the game and their position. And students need to know their assignments. To be successful, you must be willing to work. This is how football inspires us.
In our class, we keep track of our favorite team's points scored and points scored against each week.
We take these points, put them in a graph, and calculate averages.
Once we have the average, we write an opinion about how
team is performing based on the numbers.
After 4 weeks, we compared food between the 7 different teams. In our track game, found out which team had the highest averages of points. So far, which defense allowed the fewest?
We were surprised to find out the Eagles were leading our class points while the Cowboys had the fewest points scored on their defense.
After 16 games, we will do a final essay about how our team compared to the other teams in our class. Our class uses football scores to teach us math and writing.
Our work takes it to the house!
Our two football house scores were a class for sports we are proud of.
When we get A's, it feels like a touchdown.
Our score was sure that our A-plus work, so we put it on the board.
We work hard to make sure we're not embarrassed about that.
We look forward to our next project so we can show off our hard work.
Together!
That's great. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you very much.
And I like the choice of jerseys, football jerseys.
Oh, all right. That's good. Well, thank you for coming. School report, Brown Valley and Corder Schools, special reports.
Before I start, I really feel like I want to have my Browns Valley School family to come on up. At our school, we really do a lot of things that are related to shared decision making, and I feel like this isn't just my report. So family, come on up. And kids too, come on. You're part of this. You're the reason we do what we do. You guys didn't know I was going to do that.
Didn't want to put that eye through.
Good evening. I'd like to start, first of all, by thanking each of you for the opportunity to showcase two amazing schools. Obviously, you know that Browns Valley and Corder are very, very special to me, and obviously very special to these folks, too, because they took time out of their evening to come and celebrate with me. I also want to thank you all for your continued support. I see you often on our campuses, and I feel the sense of pride that you share with me and something that we share each and every day. So I really appreciate the time when you do come and see some of the amazing things going on at the sites. I also wanted to let you know that our community is very, very involved, the Hallwood community and the Browns Valley community. They are what makes the school. And it's because of the commitment from the parents, the students, the staff, the community, that things are accomplished at Browns Valley School and Cordova School as well. It's because those parents are very committed to ensuring that these students have a very successful education, that they continue to support the schools and they go out of their way to provide fundraising opportunities and do what's needed to ensure that our students have a successful education. So part of tonight's presentation is also about our community, because they are willing to do whatever is needed to support us in the best way possible. At both Browns Valley and Cordova, we strongly believe that student success is a result of shared responsibility. That's something that I take very, very seriously at all of our parent input meetings. I make sure that parents have a voice, that the staff has a voice. Typically, I don't make decisions spontaneously. I take time to listen to different perspectives, take time to address some of the concerns. It's something that we're all responsible for, and it's something that I do value greatly. Our educational community truly understands the importance of providing a rigorous learning environment filled with high expectations. We also make sure that what we do in the classroom is engaging and interactive. We also focus a lot on problem solving, and we use terms like metacognition, being aware of your own thinking about that, and that's a very important part of the problem solving process. We also make sure that what we do in the classroom is relevant to life experiences, And we also make sure that our children have opportunities to collaborate, our adults have opportunities to collaborate as well, because in the past we've used collaboration as a strategy, but now we're finding that that's a very, very important skill. If we truly want our students to be college and career ready, they have to be able to work with other people. So we do emphasize that in our classrooms often. We also want to make sure that our classrooms are appropriately challenging. And when I say that, I mean giving kids truly what they need. If they need extra support, we need to provide that. If they need that enrichment, we need to provide that. So truly giving kids what they need in order to be successful. I know at times, sometimes the word Common Core State Standards, sometimes you scratch your head and go, oh, I don't know about all this. But one of the things that I do want to share with you is that our staffs have fully embraced the Common Core State Standards, and I think that they're doing an incredible, incredible job with them. What they do is they use those standards as the pathway to teach those skills that I just shared with you. And one of the things that I've noticed that's really important to this community is that they do value continuous improvement. They try really hard to develop as educators themselves, but they're also responsible for developing the growth in each other. And that's something that I admire very much, that they do care about themselves, but they also care about each other. In the past few years, I've really seen all of my teachers step up and become leaders. They have done a lot of different things district-wide, school-wide. We often get together with our Foothill schools and collaborate, and they have stepped up. And I'm very, very proud of what I've seen. I've seen teachers who have been have taken an important role in grade-level team meetings. They have been very active in creating appropriate benchmarks. They've provided input to help make the report card changes that they felt was necessary. They participated in some of the pilot programs that we were looking at last year. And they also have made some important decisions that I think have impacted all of the schools in our district. And that's something that I admire greatly and I appreciate greatly. One of the things that's really important to us is that we are providing effective instruction in a classroom setting that all children deserve. And I can proudly say that my staff does that. And I think that you feel that sense of pride as well. In a few minutes, what I'd like to do is share a video that kind of captures some of the things that happened in classrooms last week that were related to the Common Core State Standards. I appreciate the teachers that took a little bit of time to push that button to say, okay, it's time to record now. But I also want to thank Alicia Wright for putting it all together and also adding a special flavor. Gay, I finally have learned to delegate, but I've also learned that something that would take Alicia maybe 20 minutes would take me 14 days. So I'm trying to really build on those strengths and go, okay, Alicia's the one that can pull this all together. So let's watch our video.
Original math problem, Jacob. 195 divided by 15. Where is your 15, your divisor, represented in your base 10 block? Okay, can you explain that? good. Now, why did you take 5? Okay, 5 was in the ones place for your dividend.
So we have a text-to-text, text-to-self, and text-to-the-world. Awesome. Now, look at this wonder. Remember earlier, as you read this, why is this boy holding that shell to his ear? Why is he doing that? Nice, quiet hand. Oh, Tearsome. Thank you. He was listening to the shell. What do you think? Have you listened to a shell before? What did you hear in the shell? It sounded, does it sound like the ocean? Is the ocean really in the shell? No. So, are you thinking, you know what? Are you wondering why it sounds like the ocean in the seashell? No, is that a bad?
And Will went fishing here. Felton caught 21 bass and 7 walleye. Will caught 13 bass and 8 walleye. How many more fish did Carlton catch than Will?
How did you figure that out?
How we did that is that we saw the Carlton got 21 bass, and then so we put it for Carlton, and then 7 walleye. We plus them, and then we went to Will. And then he caught 13, so we got that. And then 8 walleye, so we plus that is 21. And then for our answers, we just subtracted them.
How did you know to subtract at the end?
Because if you plus them, you get, I want to start over. We minus them, and so we got 7. And so we know how to subtract because it asked us that how many Carltons caught than Will.
Very good.
Okay, we're going to think of different ways to solve the problem. There were 8 birds sitting on a branch, and 3 birds flew away. Show me how you would solve that problem. What would you start with? Jesse, how many do you have?
8.
8, and then how are you going to show that 3 flew away? Okay, and how many are left?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Perfect. And what did you do, Christopher?
I got 8, and then I flew 8.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then how do you figure out how many are left? What are you going to do? How did you figure out 5 or left? Where did you look to find that? You're pointing to it. There you go. And what did you do, Skylar?
I took away 3.
From how many?
8.
Okay. And how many were left?
5.
Okay.
No laughing.
What'd you get?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Count how many pigs?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Which one's Zane?
Punctuation. Now it's your turn. Will you please get knee to knee? Very good. You can see that our picture card on the board is with the elephant. First partner, will you please start your sentences?
What's up, elephant? What's up,
don't let
Did you both get a chance to share?
Okay.
Five, what do you think? Share with your neighbors.
Maybe it should be in the middle because it has the two in the hundreds place and the five in the tens place. We should.
What's in here? What, Haley? Okay, I need to know that we have three rows of tomatoes. Somebody else. Caitlin, what else do I need to know? There's six plants in each row. Ooh, there is a very special word in there. Each.
Questions for me or for us?
Board, any questions?
Yeah.
Fantastic job.
Thank you.
Keep up.
Thank you for letting us share. In a few minutes, I know you're going to be hopefully approving, it can't be too presumptive, I guess, an overnight field trip for Browns Valley School for the 4th and 5th grade to Sutter's Fort. May I have them just share just a little bit more information so that you
sure.
can make the most appropriate decision? I'm keeping my fingers crossed on this. Do you want to share anything? Or Alicia Wright is one of the teachers that will hopefully be going, and Mary Schrader, the other one.
Okay, so a couple years ago, Mrs. Schrader came to me and said, hey, a few years ago I went back to Sutter's Fort, and I'd like to do it an every other year thing, and since my fourth graders didn't go last year, would you jump in? I said, oh, absolutely. And then I found out what exactly it entails, and it is quite the process. So just to give you a quick understanding of what this field trip really is, we took a very quick, not nearly as long as the last video, snapshot of photos so that you can see what the kids actually do at Sutter's Fort, because it's not just they go there for one day and watch other people's. They are actually involved in the living history.
In the heart of the Grand Ole Prairie, 1,000 miles from east to west, long knives came with wagons to a land that had been at rest. With axe and plow and a sturdy brow that toiled in sweat and blood, forging lives for sons and wives, and all of us to come. And I can't imagine what things must have been if as trials and tribulations only to get back up again to greet each new day as it was with courage, faith, and truth. Selves the I ones, and our heritage is
just one of those experiences that I personally believe school is about, and giving them something that they're going to remember forever. They might not remember the chapters that we read, but this overnight field trip they will. So please keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you don't have anything happening on Friday night, we put on an amazing harvest festival at Browns Valley School that really reflects the community and what they believe in. So if you're free, come on down. I'll give you a little flyer just so that you can put it in your planner. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? Comments from the board members? Mr. Harris? I would just like to elaborate what Mr. Harris said. Annie Spade, it's 35 years. I can remember the first day she came aboard and I stuck my hand out. Actually, I had hair then. And then David Andrews, 30 years. I taught with his dad, Lowell Andrews. He taught math at Lyndhurst High School. Either I'm getting very old or passing back. That's right. So, yeah. Yeah, that was very, very cool. Lowell Andrews, great guy. And his son is very popular Marysville High School teacher. So that was a very neat affair. Mr. Rack?
Once again, thanks to everybody that came and was in the audience watching the awards. I did want to say something. I went up to Yuba Feather School for their back-to-school night, which was the last one, and that was a fantastic experience because the weather was absolutely wonderful, and the new buildings and the work that they were doing in the classroom was just phenomenal. So it was a great experience.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Fleury?
A couple committees that I've been on the last couple weeks. Yesterday, the Wellness Committee met, and it was really an experience to watch the interaction. I was the board member. There was parents, community leaders, a lot of people looking at the old wellness policy and putting together a new wellness policy. I need to give Amber accolades. She did a great job of running that meeting with all the people in the room. Lenny Tate did a good job when things came up representing issues to make sure the teachers were represented. It was a real interesting thing to see how this policy comes about, how they're going to put it together before it comes in front of the board somewhere down the road. Also, I served on the survey committee, and which is the first one I brought up a couple weeks ago that we need to survey. And the reason is that we need to see how we're doing and how we're going to get better. And these employees in the room tonight is what it's about. It's about our employees. We need to we're a great school district. We need to even get greater. And I think this survey will help us look at it, disseminate things. It's not a I got you, but it's just to see how we get greater. And these employees tonight, as we say, it's amazing. When I see these employees, Annie used to be my secretary. Several of them was my students. One of them used to ride my bus. So it's really neat when they get together and you realize it's all what it's about. It's about the employees and the kids. And I think this district is doing that. We just need to get better and see what we can improve on. Also, our talent search for the Lions Club, we've had our first two eliminations. Now the final is going to be on November 8th, and there's some amazing talent that have made the finals. I don't know how the judges, we have professional judges, are going to be able to pick the winner for $1,000, $750, and $500. So with that, that's what I have to say.
Thank you. Mr. Miller. Okay, then, opportunity for employee organizations. Marysville Joint, Unified Teachers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Inga Schlesler, president of UDA, and this is my vice president, Angela Steele, and she's going to talk first while I pass you out some information.
Good evening. As Inga passes out some information for you, I just wanted to share a quote from an article I read recently out of Education Week, which is one of the major magazines that educators, administrators receive and that we read. And the title of the article is Give the Standards Back to Teachers. Mm-hmm. Unless teachers are the owners, these new standards will fail like all those before. But to make them owners, we must do more than invite a few token teachers to the next standards workshop. Teachers themselves must become the leaders when implementing the standards. Those who have mastered the ideas and the content must mentor their peers. Those who are challenged must work with their colleagues. Those who are indifferent must become engaged. Those who are cynical must be won over. Teachers must shape both the standards and the assessments as educational tools rather than merely data gathering instruments.
So I'm here tonight mostly because, well, for two things, but mostly because at our last meeting, when I heard the board members talking about what great jobs various folks are doing in the district, I thought the public and at least some of the board members may not know what it is that the expectations are of teachers. And I would like to start introducing what the teaching standards are in a very public way, because I think that it's a downfall for our public, too, that in general, people think, oh, you've got kids passing or not passing, and so that's what's going to determine whether or not you're a good teacher. And yet, whether or not you're a good teacher is so much more than that. And so I'd like to kind of start that conversation tonight and focus in on one particular standard. On the single sheet of paper that you got, there are the six domains of teaching practice. It's headed Organization of the Standards. And those six domains are engaging and supporting all students in learning, creating and maintaining effective environments for student learning, understanding and organizing subject matter for student learning, planning instruction and designing learning experiences for all students, assessing students for learning, and developing as a professional educator. Those are the six domains. Underneath each of those are quite a few individual pieces that make up a domain. And tonight, this larger packet is just two days worth of collection so far. I'm still collecting, but about 90 people have responded to a survey I did on the benchmarks that our teachers have been giving. One of those domains, next to the last there, number five, is assessing students for learning. Under standard number five, you can see the longer description of what that is. I'd like to highlight the second sentence says, they collect and analyze assessment data from a variety of sources and use those data to inform instruction. And what's occurred to me is, from what I've been hearing, as a kindergarten teacher, I haven't yet done a benchmark assessment. We do those every 12. The other older students are doing every six. And high school's a different monster entirely. But I kept hearing from people what a waste of time it was. That the assessments took so long to give, weren't related to what they were teaching, that they didn't have input into what those assessments would be, that the data collected was not going to help them do exactly what's in this standard, which is to use the data to inform instruction. And now this, the survey, it's lots of pages, but if you go to page 6 out of 10, where you have the big bar graph looking thing. So what the bar shows is the average score for each of those items, and actually more clearly you can see those items in the table below. For example, the first one says the assessment content is aligned to the curriculum I am teaching, and you're supposed to score it between strongly disagree, not applicable, agree, strongly agree. And if the number is smaller than 3, that means they disagree overall. And you can see that 22 strongly disagreed and 37 disagreed that the assessment was aligned to the curriculum. The next one, the time used to conduct the assessment was a reasonable length. They disagreed with that. The data gleaned from the assessment is useful in guiding my instruction. They disagreed with that. The assessment results accurately reflect the proficiency of my students. They disagreed with that. The assessment is a valuable tool for communicating progress with parents and or students, and they disagree with that. Evaluating the results of this year's benchmark assessment is significantly more time-consuming. They agreed with that. The use of Illuminate enhanced the assessment and or evaluation of the assessment experiences. On that one, I would call it neutral. It's overall a 3. And for that one, if we sorted this by grade level, you would probably get various answers. For some, it did enhance, and for others, not quite so much. The time spent on the assessment was a waste of time and detracted from instructional time, and they agreed with that. The class experienced multiple problems with technology, which increased the time necessary to complete the assessment, and they agreed with that. Due to problems with technology, my class was unable to complete the assessment. They disagreed with that. However, whether or not they were able to complete the assessment is not answered, or did they have problems with technology is not really answered, but technology was not the reason for not being able to complete it. My class did not have access to the number of computers/iPads needed in order to take all the assessment, and they did not agree with that. So apparently we're mostly getting enough of those things out to people. The readability and format of the test were grade level appropriate, and they disagreed with that. Now, on this survey, where 91 people so far have answered, there are 53 written comments. And I'd like you to take some time, take this with you, and look over those comments at your convenience. They get into some more specific things, such as the audio portion of the second grade language arts test did not work, which caused the kids to have to skip problems, do that portion in another setting, had to manually input their answers. 9 questions had more than one answer, which students have not had experience with, which is part of what we're teaching with the Common Core, so hopefully as time goes by, that'll get better. The answer key for the math was incorrect, and many answers had to be fixed. There's just a lot of frustration expressed. And what I'd like to point out is that this is October, and we've just done our yearly goals. Our goals are based on the teaching standards, which are in those 6 domains. if a teacher were to put on their goals that they were going to be assessing students for learning and that they had one of the specific pieces of that as their evaluation, and they gave this test, I would imagine they should be marked as needs improvement, because they're giving a test that's taking away from instructional time, the data of which does not guide their instruction, that is useful it is not useful information for their class, for their students. They cannot communicate clearly with their parents and students about their achievement based on that test. On the other hand, if they don't give the test, they risk insubordination because they're being mandated to do it. And I think that had we been able to work together on developing these tests before they were implemented, we may have been able to have a more successful year in this area. If you have any questions, I'm available.
Questions?
No, I'm not.
Thank you.
Thank you. Operating Engineers, California School Employees Association, Management Confidential. If not, no public comment cards. Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Thank you very much. This evening, I wanted to report to the board that I believe we have completed writing the application for the community day school, which is going to be known as the Marysville Community Day School Academy. You'll be receiving a copy of it in your Friday packet that you receive, so if you would take a look at it. There's been a lot of time and effort put into trying to make it all-encompassing. I have met, actually, several times now, but I met yesterday with Dr. Jane Harmon, the interim president at Yuba College, and she has agreed to work closely with me on developing a tutor system. So they'll have students who will be part of a program coming to actually tutor students in the community day school as part of a community service outreach through their criminal justice department. And so these are folks who will be going into administrative justice field and will be working with some very similar types of students, so it's kind of giving them a heads up. She'd also like to look for ways to partner with us to have more of our students at the community day school participate in their career tech ed classes, and so we'll be talking about ways that we might be able to do that. I have also met with the chief of probation, Jim Arnold, yesterday, and we talked about the partnership of having probation be a very strong partner with us, and they are writing a letter of support for our application along with Dr. Harmon. So we talked about ways that they too could help support and provide some programs for our students while they are in the community day school. And then finally, talking about the community day school, last Thursday, Romero, Ryan, and I met with the staff at North Marysville High School to discuss the new school and to answer any questions that they had. And they had a few, but I think they felt pretty good about what we presented, and Romero was able to lay out some options. And so I think at this point in time, things are, I think, a lot clearer for them. So we will continue moving down that path, and so hopefully in the next week or so I'll get some feedback from board members, and then once I have gathered all of those comments, we'll submit it to the state for their consideration. Yesterday, and actually this is a continuation of a conversation Principal Bob Eckert at Lyndhurst High School and I've had, talking about one of our LCAP goals, which is to bring back the ROTC program to Lyndhurst, talking about the fact that there is a mandatory 5-year wait period, and we need to submit a letter requesting a reinstatement to Maxwell. And so he has been in contact with the person who is in charge of that, and so we'll be putting together a letter that I will have the board take a look at as well. As you know, in our LCAP, we've started putting funding aside for the reinstatement, and so it is a 3-year gathering of funds, and so hopefully by, seems so far away, and yet it'll be here before we know it, 2018-19, we will look to have that program reinstated. So it is, we have to follow their the Air Force's timeline, and so we are taking those steps to move in that direction. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that we are moving down that path. It is slow, but certainly they set the pace, so we'll follow their guidelines and hopefully have that back sooner rather than later. And then finally, you know, as all stars align, it seems that WASC has blessed our district with two reviews, one for Lyndhurst High School and one for Marysville High School. And their first kickoff meeting, as you received an invitation in the last Friday packet, Lyndhurst High School will be meeting with their WASC committee. It's kind of a meet and greet and kind of get to know some of the board members. Lyndhurst will be at 2:30 in the school cafe, and I have Phil Miller, who has given me a yes, and Glenn Harris. And then Marysville High School will be at 4:30 in the library, same day, Sunday the 19th, and I am looking to see if board members have had a chance to check their calendars and can let me know so I can let the school sites know who will be in attendance. So Jim will be at Marysville, okay. And Tony will be at Marysville High. Bernie or?
I need to check my calendar.
Okay. And then Frank, have you? Okay. And if you can just get back to me, I will send the note to both principals to let them know who will be coming as a representative from the board. Okay. Oh, you're going to do both. All right. 2:30 and 4:30. Gotcha. Thank you very much, Mr. Fleury. And that is all I have for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Dr. Todd?
That's if the 19th.
I'm sorry.
The date was?
It's Sunday the 19th, 2:30 at Lyndhurst High School, 4:30 at Marysville High School. And Marysville High School will be in the library. Lyndhurst will be in the school cafe. That sounds so much nicer than the cafeteria.
Cafeteria, yeah, cafe.
The cafe.
Okay, the approval of minutes, we exception of Mr. Miller absent. Questions? If not, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion for approval. The minutes of 9:23. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Abstain?
Abstain.
Tony Gavel. I'm sorry. One abstention.
Consent agenda. The board is requested to approve the consent agenda items. Have you anyone like any pooled or discussed? If not, do we have a motion for approval? We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Mr. Danable. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Miller. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. New business, personnel services. I didn't mean to jump ahead so quick, but that's rare for me. let me see, Mr. Carrion, you want me to do this, or? Well, this is just a rescission of a resignation letter for Assistant Superintendent of Business Services. The purposes of this agenda item is to request the board consider rescinding the resignation of the Assistant Superintendent of Business Services. It does require a motion and
so
a
move.
Line item. Okay, we have a motion to
rescind.
Rescind?
Yes.
Do I have a second? A second for Mr. Danable. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Mr. Harris? It's 6-1 opposed. 5-1, excuse me. I have one absent. Okay, purchasing department, resolution 2014-15-9/9, disposal of obsolete textbooks, instructional material for 2014-15. Okay, who wants to talk on this? Kathy? Do we still have that where that big shredder in the room? Do we? Do we? I used to go in there and find a lot of great books before they got shredded. That probably shouldn't have said that.
We do accumulate, especially we're not using it for this purpose, though.
Okay.
We do accumulate, especially with new adoptions, obsolete materials.
Sure.
And manipulative aids that come with those materials, with textbooks and stuff. There's workbooks and paper products. Normally, the textbooks, when Ed Services declares them discard, we will collect them and we try to sell them before we take them to an area that usually they get mutilated or shredded.
Yeah.
The hardbound textbooks. But then we have all the other associated items that normally the publishing companies provide free of charge that correlate with the hardbound books. So we have a number of boxes of those materials that we need to recycle.
Sure.
And so we thought we should formally prepare this and get it approved before we do so.
That's excellent. Any questions?
Yes. Is this limited to textbook, or is this also include other instructional materials?
It would be other instructional materials, curriculum aids, sure. Surplus equipment is handled on a different resolution, but this is the curriculum type items. So in addition to textbooks, there could be library books, other curriculum items.
Are they generally, Kathy, outdated or what?
Generally, yes, outdated is what most of them are, or some of them might be damaged beyond repair.
Do we afford any group of like library books to are we allowed to do that?
Yes, we can donate to charitable organizations.
Okay.
We can certainly, once they're stamped discard, we can give them to our students and families.
Okay, great.
So, sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. All in favor, please state aye.
How about second?
Oh, and it's a little boy. Bernie, I'm sorry.
Second.
All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. And Mr. Danable is in the restroom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Resolution 2014-15/10, prescribing the terms and authorizing the issuance of refunding bonds, approving forms of documents, and authorizing execution of necessary certificates. Did I miss one?
Yes, the emergency.
Hmm?
What?
Oh, it's on the amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's right. Emergency award to contract without bidding and advertisement to install new intercom system at MCAA. Who's going to speak on this?
Kathy.
Yes, this item, originally I had it on consent, and legal prefers this to be taken as a resolution. I actually thought when we first got a proposal that we could get some of the materials off of a cooperative purchasing contract that you have approved us to use, but it turns out these are more of a commercial end version of the product, and so they only sell to authorized installers and distributors. And they don't usually make an exception to that. So in the essence, to get the project done for the school site, we would like to have it approved as an emergency so we can move forward with it.
Well, thank you. Any questions? Legal did bring this to my attention, and to be safe, thank you, Kathy,
for
following
thank
through
you.
On that. This does take a unanimous vote.
Yes, it does.
And
Mr. DiGiulio helped prepare this.
Yeah,
so
I spoke to Mr. Thompson, mm-hmm. our attorney for this matter, and it takes unanimous vote. We got clearance from the county superintendent, and the reason it's an emergency item is because we want to have that all-call system in case anybody enters the campus when they shouldn't, for the safety of our students and our staff. We've been trying to get it done, I think, since the summer, and there's been a lot of delays. So
it has.
Every day that passes, you know, we don't have the proper system there, so we want to get moving on it. And we have all the proper documentation now. We just need a unanimous vote.
Thank you. I'm glad legal caught that. That was something I was totally unaware of.
I'm glad they did, too.
Any other questions? If not, do I have a motion? We have a motion by Mr. Danable to approve. Do I have a second? Second from Mr. Fleury. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays? That's unanimous.
Great. Thank you.
That motion passes. Thank you very much, Kathy. Did I cover everything? Oh, I should put this in. Authorize emergency award, MCAA new intercom system.
This is the contract portion.
Okay. Oh, excuse me.
One
that's
is
right.
You have to declare it is an emergency, and then the second is this
Describing the terms of authorizing issuance of refunding bonds. Okay. Do I have a motion?
Follow staff recommendation.
Follow staff recommendation. Do I have a second?
We have a second.
Mr. Danable. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. Resolution 2014-15/10, prescribing the terms and authorizing the issuance of refunding bonds, approving forms of documents, and authorizing the execution of necessary certificates and related actions. Any questions? That was a mouthful.
I think
you all understood that. Go ahead.
This is the formal resolution we talked about when we came in presented with government financial strategies, and Stacy is here if you have any questions. But this is about refunding and trying to get more of the money back to the taxpayers. Net savings around $1 million. We'll see if the opportunity still presents itself on the 2008 bonds, but it will most likely be for the 2006. However, this authorizes both if the savings are there, and it's simply to reduce the amount of debt paid by tax. The taxpayers in this county.
Phil? No? Yeah, that. Yes, he did. He had that look.
Yeah, Paul said I had 10 questions.
No other questions?
Is the advantage of doing this is that because we're not anticipating selling the bonds right away coming up,
no,
that we'll get a lower rate and better return?
Yeah, there's a lower rate, so there's a lower total amount of tax paid, but there is an option within the bond where they're callable at a certain date, so that came up for the 2006 bonds. But I'll let.
Hi.
Hi, good evening. I'll speak to that just for a moment.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, Stacy Furricks with Government Financial Strategies.
Thank you, Stacy.
You're welcome. And we monitor the refinancing opportunities of the district, and the 2006 bonds present a really good opportunity now, and the 2008 bonds might be able to get in the car and ride along and use the savings from a cost of issuance to also qualify for refunding. And I think that we're going to be reevaluating what the bond portfolio looks like and when the next issuance is. But right now you have the opportunity to return more than $1 million to your taxpayers as savings. And so that's why we brought the recommendation forward.
Oh, nice. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you.
You're welcome. And I will say one thing. We have the sale of the bonds scheduled on October 28th in our office. It's by competitive bid. So if anybody was interested in coming and watching the bids come in on the computer screen, Ryan can get you in touch with me.
That'd be cool.
It's very exciting for us in finance, but I did want to invite anybody. It's a very transparent process. But also, we'll be back, I think it's October 18th, to present the results of the sale and whether the refunding went forward.
Thank you very much.
Romero and I have sat in on some of those, and as riveting as they are, I was really hoping there'd be some ticker tape that would come running down the table, but it didn't happen. So
no bells ring.
But it is exciting when you see the bids and what they are coming in at. So.
And it was more exciting before computers, and there was cashier's checks and money orders being opened at the table and doing the calculations real time. But I did want to make sure the invitation was extended.
Well, thank you. I think that concludes. Mr. Fleury? Oh, wait, we need a motion. Do I have a motion for approval? Motion by Mr. Harris and a second by Mr. Miller. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. Now I believe that concludes. Mr. Fleury, did you? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Miller, go ahead.
I would like to close the meeting in the name of David West. He was quite an activist out in Lyndon Oliver's area, involved with supporting Lyndhurst Athletic Boosters and Oliver's Linda Little League. And he passed away a couple weeks ago. And I'd like to close it in his name.
Thank you. I think anyone who's associated with Lyndhurst knew Mr. West.
David.
Oh, yeah, yes, David, yes.
Might mention he did substitute in the district for several years.
So we will adjourn in his memory. Thank you very much.